Welcome to the Tech Webcast Podcast, episode 401, recorded on the 29th of October, 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the iPhone or Android Tech Webcast app. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl, and our very special guest is Jeff Patika.
Hi, this is Paul Carey from Carey Co. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cat, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at kerryco.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
Tech Webcast. Streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands. Brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now, holding brain hands.
Good afternoon, Brad.
Good afternoon, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm good, good. On this sort of long, well, unofficial long weekend, Melbourne Cup weekend here and in Australia. For those who don't live in Australia, it's the horse race that stops the nation. It happens on Tuesday in Australia, in Melbourne. So, yeah, there's a lot of people around. Yeah,
a lot of stuff, mate. Stuff. How's your week been?
Yeah, busy week at work. We've been doing training sessions for people on Moodle, which is a modular learning management system for e-learning and blended learning. And we've been trying to get our heads around Zoom, Zoom.us, which is a bit like Skype in a way. It's a video, but it's a video conferencing. You can share the screen. You can do a lot of things that you can do on Skype. And we've been trying to get our heads around that this week.
Awesome, mate. Jake, welcome back to the podcast, mate. How's your week been?
Oh, it's been pretty darn good.
Yes. Yeah. Tell us.
So Tuesday was my birthday.
Yep. Yeah. And what did you get? Anything exciting? Any good stuff?
A butt ton of CDs.
Oh, really?
And awesome. New TV.
Awesome. New TV. Good stuff, mate. Daryl, we need to talk about the Apple event and Vine closing down.
Yeah. I mean, and also the interesting thing with, like, you got the Apple event and then Microsoft also launched a new Surface, which looks really, I mean, it's hard to know until you actually see the reviews, because the sort of Microsoft videos, of course, always going to go, you know, like the Apple videos are always going to paint it in a very good light. But Surface Studio, I think it's called. And so maybe a fierce competitor to sort of Apple, but and Vine going. I think Twitter's decided that obviously Vine is not successful. I guess Snapchat and that sort of killed off Vine, and of course Twitter's looking to sell itself as a company. So I guess it's purging itself of things that are not making it any money before it can finally find someone to buy it.
Hmm. Interesting.
But yeah, the Surface Studio, I think it's called Surface Studio, that looks really interesting. And I think it's probably the first time in a long time that Microsoft have actually bought out a bit of hardware that's got a bit of wow factor to it.
Yeah, definitely. Jake, what's your view on Vine closing now, mate?
It sucks.
Did you ever use Vine?
Yeah, I just watch a lot of American Science videos, all their short clips.
Do you think, Jacob, that maybe Snapchat killed off Vine, like it was more popular?
I think so. I think Snapchat won the war on that one.
Yep.
And I have something to say about the new thing from Microsoft.
Yes.
Costs about $3,000 just to get one unit per unit.
Yep, they're not cheap. It's going to be interesting to see because Apple can get away with, you know, having prices that are probably, you know, on the higher end of things. It will be interesting if people will look at Microsoft in the same way and say, well, I don't mind paying a premium price for this. I guess it depends on when the reviews rate, how good is it and does it suit your needs? But it just looked from the video, I sort of looked at the video and I was sort of drooling even though I don't have the money at the moment to be paying for that.
Put one of those in the office. Woo!
Yes, it would be very nice to have a couple of touchscreens like that, the size of them and all that, yeah.
Jeff, what's your view on Vine, Clay? Did you ever use Vine, man?
I did, and not just me. I have an 11-year-old son who was into it. You know, he's probably more disappointed than I am because I got out of the habit of using it a little while ago, but I think he's still been into it. So it was fun while it lasted. I enjoyed it. It's kind of sad to see it go.
Yeah, definitely. Daryl, just real quick, what about the Apple event? Did you catch any of the Apple event?
I only just read bits and pieces about, was it the new MacBooks or the new – I didn't get a chance to sit up at 3 a.m. in the morning and watch it this time. But I don't know. I guess it's sort of about – I think there'd been a lot of criticism that Apple hadn't refreshed their notebook range for quite a while. So I guess it was about time that Apple, you know, produced some new hardware – some new notebook hardware and stuff like that. But as I said, it'll be interesting to see with Microsoft offering now and Apple's offering all coming out virtually in the same week. And I think it'll push Apple along a bit too because I think you need competition. You know, if you're going to keep innovating and keep producing good stuff, you need other companies out there pushing you along a bit. So hopefully that'll do that because you don't want Apple to sort of say, well, we rule all these areas and we don't need to sort of push ourselves anymore. If Microsoft at least comes out and even though, as Jacob said, it's a fairly expensive device, if Microsoft can come out there and push Apple a bit, it's good for the consumer because you get Apple getting, you know, getting more innovative again.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right.
Can I say something about Vine?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I don't know if it's a rumor or not, but I don't think it'll work well for Vine.
What?
Pornhub wants to buy it.
Oh, my God. Well, I suppose pornography was one of the early adopters of the internet, so I guess... Yeah, I guess, well, who knows? Are they actually going to sell Vine or are they just going to shutter it?
I think they're just going to get rid of it and just use Twitter video. Video part on Twitter.
So unless, because I guess it's so integrated, I don't know whether you could actually sell it off I suppose you could sell it off as a separate venture, but I don't know who'd really want to buy it up against, say, Snapchat.
Hmm. But anyway, we'll see what happens. We got a guest on today. Daryl Jeff.
Yep, and who has a YouTube channel. I think it's called J.Party, which is all things sort of vinyl, interviews and discussions and that on all things vinyl. So welcome, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good to have you on, Jeff. The main reason I got you on, Jeff, is to talk about your awesome setup there, mate. With them. I couldn't believe when I seen it. I've never seen nothing like that before.
Yeah, I like it. It's largely a vintage system. One of my videos is kind of a tour of my listening room, and I kind of showed the equipment that I've used. So, yeah, I've got an old Marantz stereo receiver. I've got an old Dynaco tube amplifier, and you know, of course, the turntable. And so, it's a nice system. I certainly enjoy it.
What sort of turntable do you use?
It's a VPI Scout. VPI is a great turntable manufacturer here in the United States, and I just got that turntable earlier this year. I've been wanting one for a long time. It's a really beautiful turntable.
How long does turntables last for, and how long does the needle or the cartridge last for? Depends on how long you use them.
Well, I mean, turntables can last, you know, decades. There's still a lot of vintage turntables out there in use if you take care of them. You know, there's no reason a turntable can't work for a really long time. Cartridges. You know, if you play a lot of records, you know, some people replace their cartridges every year. You know, I tend to go a couple years at least before replacing one, but you know, I play a lot of records.
Yeah.
But you know, they don't last as long. But you know, there's also people that say, well, I've had the same cartridge for 10 years and it's fine. So, you know, it all depends.
Yeah, I recommend what you said to me this morning about mine, because I got some cleaning stuff, so I'm gonna get that guy this afternoon and see if that helps.
Oh, good.
For some reason, keeping the needle clean. I think that might be the problem.
Yeah.
Well, from even my old days of vinyl, yes, if the needle got fluff or bits of stuff on it, yes, it could really affect the audio quality. And so, yeah, clean the needle if you can.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely.
I'm a little crazy with it. I clean the needle after every record side. So.
Really? Every time, really?
Yeah, after every side, it's funny, you know, you think a record's clean, and then you play a side, and even if it is clean, you lift up the needle, you can see just a little bit of stuff on there, you know. So I just want to get that off. So I just to be as a precaution, I clean it after every side.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And what sort of music do you get into? Do you have a favorite band listen to every day or once in a while?
Well, not every day, but you know, my favorite bands over the course of my life have always been. You know, and it's funny because I wasn't a child of the 60s. I was born after the 60s were over. But I love the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Bob Dylan. Those are my three big, you know, artists that I never seem to stop listening to.
What about recent bands, like today bands, that sort of stuff?
You know, I try to keep, you know, checking new bands out, you know, and occasionally I buy a new record here and there, buy a newer band. You know, the bands I think of as newer, though, you know, I don't even know how new they are anymore, but
yeah.
more recent bands, you know, I like bands like Spoon and Weezer and, you know, that just anybody that plays that good, you know, kind of classic rock and roll music.
Did you ever get into Silverchair?
To what's that?
Band called Silverchair.
I know of them. I never did get into them though. Maybe I should check those out.
Yeah, you should. It's a great band. Yeah. There's so many good bands in Australia, like Men at Work and them sort of bands and.
Oh yeah, well not a new band, but I've always been a big fan of like Split Enz and Crowded House. And really good stuff.
I just got a Crowded House album the other day for $15.
Beautiful, awesome.
First album. Oh, I think it might be. Yeah, I think it is.
Excellent.
Is that correct, Jake? Is it the first one?
I think it's Crowded House by Crowded House.
Would be the first. Yeah, that's a great album.
Mm. Have you got many Crowded House albums, Jeff?
Yeah, well, I've got them all in one form or another. I've got the first two on vinyl. I have the Crowded House one, and then I also have Temple of Low Men on vinyl. Nice. The others I just have on CD. But yeah, I think I've got them all. They're a great band.
I think they're bringing out a reissue in a couple of weeks of all the albums.
Oh, that'd be nice on vinyl.
Yeah.
Oh, spectacular! Yeah, I'd love to get Woodface especially on vinyl. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, is that the live one?
No, that's the third album, the one where Tim Finn joined the band for one album.
Oh, okay. Nice one. Okay, I'll have to check that out.
I'd like to get that.
Yeah, awesome. And tell us more about your setup and stuff. How long have you been doing this sort of thing for?
Well, I guess I've been serious into the stereo stuff. I would say it's got to be at least 15 years now since I got really serious and, you know, started striving to get some better and better equipment. And, you know, about that time, 15 years ago or so, I sort of got back into records. I had kind of abandoned them for a long time. I got my first CD player when I was 15. That would have been 1987. And then I just kind of forgot about records for a while. And then, but, you know, the very end of the 90s, I got another turntable. I started getting back into it. And then I just started wanting a better amplifier, better speakers after that. So it's been a gradual process of improving things as I could afford to, and you know, to get to the point where I'm at now, which is, you know, I think I'm at a point now where I'm satisfied enough with the stereo that there's nothing I'm, you know, going crazy wanting to upgrade at the moment. I'm pretty happy with it as it is. So I think I've reached a point where I'm pretty satisfied with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. Yeah,
definitely. And why do you think vinyl's taken off so much now in past? Was it been a year now, do you reckon? How long has it been around?
I think the resurgence started, you know, quite, you know, a few years back now. I'm not sure why. I've been thinking about this. I just think in some way it might be a reaction you know, to some people, you know, a lot of people love the iPod kind of aesthetic of convenience, you know, to have so much music at your fingertips. And I like that too. You know, I'm not anti-digital. I'm not anti any of that stuff. But I think there's a reaction against that with some people where they, you know, they're like, well, you know, the sound isn't all that it could be. And I think more and more people start to discover some of the charms of vinyl beyond that, even like the nice album covers and the liner notes and just the more tactile experience of putting a record on and playing it. I think all those things are kind of attractive, and young people see that they can get into it without spending a whole lot of money. You know, you can get a pretty affordable turntable, and you know, you can go to the dollar bin and get some cheap records to start with and see if you're into it. So all those things, I think, make it attractive.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And Darryl, what about you? Are you got any questions for Jeff?
Yeah, I was interested in your system. You've also got like, I suppose a music room or a listening room that you have it all in. Have you done anything, modifications to the room to support that?
In the room I'm in currently, I've only been in this room for about 2 months. I moved into a new house 2 months ago. And luckily, the room I've kind of set everything up in here, I don't see that it really needs much modification. I think it's working out great as it is. In rooms in prior houses where I've lived, I have had to do some things. In the last house, in fact, I had to kind of build a whole room almost from scratch. And I try to take into account, you know, the acoustics of a space, because that's really important when you're getting into this stuff and you're interested in good sound. The room is kind of another component in the system in its way. You know, it's very important. And, you know, I would do things in past rooms, like I would put up acoustic treatment on the walls if they were a little too echoey, or, you know, if sound felt like it was bouncing all over the place, I'd put up, you know, acoustic treatment on the walls, and that would really help. But luckily in the room I'm in now, it doesn't really seem to need much.
So following on from that, do you think we've sort of thinking about why people have returned to vinyl? I mean, I was sort of thinking, you know, a music room, and I can remember a neighbour where I lived had a music room, and he was very much into classical music, and he'd say, come over and have a listen, and you'd sit in the room, and you'd have a beer, and you'd be listening. Do you think that might be also one of the reasons why? Because with, if you like, the more portable music, whether it's iPhones, iPods, streaming.
Yeah.
People do it as very much as an individual thing. You put your headset on, you're away from the world, you listen to it. Whereas in the vinyl's heyday, it was a lot of like, because you had a massive stereo system, you couldn't put it on your back and cart it round. People actually migrated to a room and sat and listened and talked about music.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think that's another part of the attraction of it, you know, with iPods and things like that. It tends to encourage multitasking, where you're not giving your full attention to the music. Yep. You might be reading something while the iPod's playing, or driving, or, you know, whatever else. With records, you really can't, you know, it's much more an experience of, okay, you put the record on, you sit, and you listen to it. And I think that's something people really started to get away from with digital in general, especially with iPods and things.
That's a good
point.
But
with records, And with records, you know, you kind of have to sit there and give it more attention in a way, because, I don't know, it becomes more of a focal point of your activity. And if you can bring a social aspect into that too and have other people listening with you, I mean, what could be more fun?
It's a bit like, there was a book written recently about how the internet has affected people's reading habits, and it's almost a bit like what you're saying with listening. You know, I love reading novels, and you'd sit down and if you had time, you'd read and you'd deep read, and the world could be going around. You wouldn't know because you were immersed in a novel. And then the internet come along where we click on things and we look at something quickly, and then we multitask. And the author was saying that people are not getting in and reading as deeply as they were because they're doing a dozen other things. And so that may be similar with what you were saying, and it may be an idea as to why people say some people say vinyl is a better audio quality than digital. Maybe part of that is because they're actually sitting down and really listening to it.
Yeah, and they're focused on that. And you know, it's a question of attention span too, I think. You know, to sit down, even one side of a record, say it's 20 minutes, to just sit in a chair and not be doing anything else and focus your attention on that for 20 minutes. Some people find that difficult, you know, but it's an experience I really enjoy. And like you say, I think it encourages you, you're more focused on it. And I think you appreciate the sound more, whether it's objectively better than digital or not. And I'm not really going to say that it necessarily is. It's different from digital. Whether it's better is, that's a debate you could have. But I think you're more attuned to it, maybe, if you sit and listen to vinyl. That's one theory I have anyway.
I can definitely tell the difference between vinyl and digital.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a difference for sure. Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Jacob, any questions for Jeff?
How many records do you have?
Oh, that's always a tough question. I haven't even tried to count them in a long time. If I had to guess, and you know, this could even be low, but I mean, counting all the what I call the overflow records that I'm kind of preparing to purge from the collection, it's got to be at least 2,000, maybe 3,000.
Wow.
But if you think about it, I've been buying them since I was a little kid, and I'm 44 now. So it's not like I go out and buy tons of records all the time. It's just what I've built up through my whole life, really.
How often do you buy records, Jeff?
On average, you know, a couple times a month I'll go out and look for records. There's been times where I let it go for a few months and didn't shop at all, you know, and then there's other times where I'll shop a lot. But on average, a couple times a month I'll let myself go out and look at records. And so I try not to go too crazy. And then I order online here and there too. So
I went to a record store the other day in Melbourne here. It was called Plug 7, right, Jacob?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That shop, it was very unorganized. Do you go to many record shops, Jeff, and find them sort of unorganized, or what's your, you know?
That's yeah, once in a while, and it can be on one. It's a double-sided coin. You know, on one side, it's kind of frustrating because if you're looking for one thing in particular, it's going to be impossible. But on the other hand, it can be kind of fun because you never know what you're going to see next as you're flipping through and. Depends what kind of mood I'm in, if I want to deal with it or not. But yeah, once in a while I walk into a place like that and it's, you know, frustrating, but also kind of fun.
I go to a shop in North Melbourne here called Heartland Records. Mm-hmm. You walk in there, mate, I can guarantee you'll find something there in about probably 2 seconds. It's so well organized. It's in categories, in bands and this sort of thing, you know.
Yep.
It's just awesome, you know.
Yeah, there's stores I go to like that too. That's great.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's so good.
Does the cover art, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, because with CDs and, of course, you can't get cover art much on streaming music unless on the computer. Is cover art something that you think really influences people too with vinyl? You know, it used to in the old days of vinyl that almost the cover art was almost as important as the recording itself.
Yeah, I do think it's part of the attraction. You know, especially with albums where, you know, you have a gatefold sleeve and you open it up and there's like a booklet in there or a big poster, you know, because when they shrink those things down, even when they did it to CD size, when CDs were coming in, it's just not as impressive, you know. And I think there's a certain element of attraction there, you know, especially for more artistically minded younger people maybe that are getting into it, that they're like, wow, this is amazingly cool, you know.
Yep.
And they hang them on their walls, you know, in frames and everything. So it's... I think that lends a lot of attraction to it.
Cool.
Interesting.
Any more questions, Jacob?
No, that was the big one.
All right. So Jeff, what's the plan for your YouTube channel? Is it going to be a point at some time where you're going to stop buying records, or are you just going to keep going?
Oh, I don't see that happening ever. Just I like it too much. You know, part of it's the thrill of the hunt. You know, I always have you know, a list of, even if it's 3 or 4 records that I'm looking for.
Yep.
And, you know, I always add one or two to the list. As I knock one or two off, I add one or two more. So there's always a couple I'm kind of looking for. So I don't think I'll ever give it up. It's too much
now,
fun.
Now, Jacob, do you want to explain what we've been doing for the past month or so, but what we've been doing? I've been taking you around to record stores, and you've been telling me what to buy.
Your wingman. Up all the good stuff.
So I've been taking Jacob around these shops in Melbourne here, and he loves it. You know, buy this, you know. So this is a great band, and I get them home and play, and they're awesome, which I haven't never even heard of, and they sound great, you know.
That's the best thing when you share the experience with friends, you know. I enjoy record shopping most when I go with a buddy, because that person will say, oh, have you heard this record? You should buy this record. And then, you know, 9 times out of 10, I buy it, and they're right. I really like it. So that's great to be turned on to music that way. That's part of the fun. It's great.
Yeah, definitely. And he told me about a band called The Ramones, which I never really heard of.
Oh, yeah.
And I played one of their songs the other day on Apple Music, and I loved it, you know. It's fantastic, you know.
I was at a flea market a month or two ago with a friend of mine who was also into records, and we were just looking through literally piles of records that were just in the dirt. It was like an outdoor flea market, and this guy had piles of records just sitting in the dirt, and they were a dollar each, and I found this Dr. John record, and I was just looking at it. My friend goes, oh, that is an awesome album. You have to buy that. And I had never heard it, but I'm like, well, what the heck, for a dollar, I'll buy a dirty record. I'll clean it up and listen to it. And boy, did I love it. It's fantastic.
Now, I've got a question for you. Now, I watched one of your videos the other day, Jeff. You mentioned a man called, what's it called? Simon and Garfunkel?
Simon and Garfunkel, yeah.
Yes. And you poured one of, I think you bought another copy of that album. You poured, something happened to it. You poured coffee on it or something?
No, well, what happened, I told the story in the video. I had this wonderful copy of Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel, which is kind of their classic album.
Okay.
And it's one of my favorites of all time. And I had this just copy that it was gorgeous. It was clean. It was like a new record. It sounded fantastic. And what happened was, and it goes back to cleaning my needle, I had the lid from my stylus cleaner in my hand, and I had just cleaned my needle, and I dropped this hard plastic lid onto the record as I was about to put it on the turntable, and I scratched the first song.
Oh.
And boy, was that painful for me. I was really upset. So I did manage to find a replacement for that record, but it was out of print by then, this particular edition, and it was not cheap to replace.
Oh.
But, you know, I just wanted it so bad to get rid of the pain of having done that, that I did pay for a new copy. But, yeah, once in a while those things happen and it hurts.
So what do you sort of pay for a record these days for yourself?
I try not to spend too much. You know, if there's something I really want, you know, it depends. You know, most of the used records I buy tend to be reasonably cheap, you know, $10 US or less. But if I'm buying a new record, you know, you're usually going to pay more, like $20 or even $30 sometimes for those.
Yep.
It's rare that I'll spend much more than that unless it's some kind of special fancy deluxe reissue. And if I'm going to spend more than, you know, if I'm going to go up to more like $50, it's going to have to be an album I really love. And it's going to have to be some kind of really nice reissue that's getting good reviews and people are saying good things about, then I'll be willing to maybe spend the money. I try not to go too crazy, though.
Yeah, definitely. Darryl, what about you, mate? What's the reasonable price that would you pay for a record these days?
Oh, I guess it depends on the band. It depends on the singer and how badly you want it. If it's something that's easy to get, like if you know it's going to be around the place, then you can sort of negotiate down a bit. But if it's something that's really rare, but then again, it's just, yeah, for me, it's just, do I want that singer and how prepared am I to pay for that particular singer? But I was going to ask, do you have any, I know this is getting old, do you have any records that are like the 45s or... do you play anything of the older speeds, just out of curiosity?
Oh, I have loads of 45s. I love them.
Yeah,
I love 45s because especially from that 60s period, you know, they were 50s and 60s records. A lot of those 45s are these really great punchy mono mixes that don't really sound the same anywhere else. If they remaster them on a CD, it sounds a little too clean or something.
Yep.
You know, when you put on an old 45, the sound can just punch you right in the gut sometimes. It's so powerful. And there's a certain kind of analog compression that they used back then to make those records that give them a kind of a unique flavor. So, yeah, I collect 45s. I love them. 78s I've never really gotten into.
It'd be very hard. Well, I presume it would be hard to get the needles in that for 78s. And
yeah, that's the thing. I don't even have a player that runs at 78 speed, so that's the first thing. But and the needles, you need special equipment. I've just never gotten into that side of it. But 45s, I love.
Yep.
They're fantastic.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent. All right. So, Jeff, any more you want to mention anything before you wrap up? Anything else you want to mention about your setup at all? What was your previous setup before you had this, the current one, mate?
Well, for a long time before I got this VPI turntable, I had a couple of Riga turntables. Riga is a British manufacturer of audio equipment, and I had a couple of their turntables before, and they were nice. But I don't know, there was just something about the VPI that was, you know, I'd been lusting after one for a long time. And before I got into the vintage stuff, I mean, I was into, you know, I kind of had audio video equipment. I had, you know, my record player was integrated into my video system with the TV and everything, and now it's kind of separated out. So my equipment before that was kind of just regular audio video type equipment. I had an AVR receiver, a Denon, that I used to use. And
Yeah,
I've kind of separated it out now. I have an audio system in one room, and then my TV system's in a whole other part of the house. So,
oh, nice one.
Yeah.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Any more questions, Jake, before you wrap up the podcast, mate?
No.
That's it. So what's next, Jeff, for your what's coming up in your – any cool videos coming up soon, mate?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I've only been doing the videos for a couple of weeks, and I've already got 10 up there. I'm trying to think of some ideas for the next one. Someone wrote me a comment on one of them and suggested that I had talked about a couple of soul records, and they suggested, why don't you do one all about soul records? And I'm like, okay, so that might be my next one.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the comments I've been getting are great, and the encouragement. So, you know, I pay attention to those, see what people are interested in, and maybe I'll try and tailor some videos toward that. And I'm just going to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, definitely. How long has the channel been around for?
Just a couple weeks. I started
it. That's all new then. Yeah. That's new. Okay.
Yeah, it's a brand new channel. I just had it up for a few weeks. And
oh, wow.
I've been doing a video every couple of days because it's been so much fun. It was more fun than I anticipated. You know, I might slow down a little bit, but I do intend to keep it going.
That's fine,
but yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's awesome. Any plans on coming to Australia anytime soon?
I don't know about soon. I mean, I'd love to see it someday, but I'll keep you in the loop.
Awesome record shops in Melbourne to check out, mate.
I'm sure that'd be a lot of fun.
Good stuff. How many record shops do you have in your area? How many do you have in your area?
In the immediate area, I have probably three or four decent places, and then there's another couple, you know, if I'm willing to travel about 45 minutes or an hour, there's a couple more really good ones. So I would say about a half dozen good places to go.
Awesome.
It's not bad. All right.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Now, where can I get hold of you if they want to ask you any more questions?
On the YouTube channel, which is Jay Partyka, or I'm on Twitter at Jeff Partyka, PARTYKA.
Good stuff, mate. Darryl, what about you, mate? Where can they get hold of you?
I'm on Twitter. They can grab me at Learnscape, or on Google plus Darryl Hunt. I'm still there. I've been there longer than some vinyl records, but I'm still there.
We want to see your record.
Yeah, no, my aim is tomorrow is I'll be taking some photos, and I like when Jeff said he liked the Beach Boys because I know I have a Beach Boy album. I think it was one my brother gave me for my 21st birthday, and it was one when it was so that was in the early 80s, and it was one the Beach Boys sort of because they well and truly stopped by then. Then they came back and did a best of type thing where they came out of, and all of a sudden the new generation said, oh, who are these Beach Boys? You know, and so they sort of did an album. And so that's I know I've definitely got that one. So I will pull out some albums and take some photos.
Sweet, great. Good stuff. You can get me on Twitter at Bright Eyes and a Tech Webcast. Jake, what about you, man?
Always been good. Yep. Follow me at Jazzbot 326691Z.
And that is a wrap, Daryl.
Good
show, mate.
Good show. Great show.
Good show. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate your time, mate, for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And come back on any time if you want to have another chat about your channel.
All right, cool.
Cool. Thanks, mate. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast.
Whoa. Okay, that's a wrap. I just accidentally hit the bloody outro by accident. Oh,
that's it. That's an out. The needle jumped off the recording. So we'll see you all next week.
Yeah.
Hey, if you have the recording, what you could do is cut that up.